the book here?
All kinds of headaches.
All kinds of headaches. Now, see, most of my headaches, you know, go away at like 10:02.
I resemble that remark.
I had to figure out that I get headache. I used to get headaches from sleeping on the wrong pillow.
That's a basic thing.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So there's not just migraines. There's some people get tension headaches. A buddy of mine used to get headaches from not eating. And all sorts of other things. So tell us a little bit about that.
I'll tell you what. My hero is Dr. David Buchholz at Johns Hopkins.
Okay.
Because he's the man that I found was a top-level neurologist that could explain it all.
Okay.
And those things are basics that you're mentioning, sleeping and hydrating and all of that. But there's a real mechanism, and it applies to all headaches. It's not like we have lots of... You know, you kind of think you're special if you have migraines. I used to, but I have migraines. I can't help it, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But actually, they're all from the same mechanism. That's what they've discovered, and it's just incredible. What I've learned from him.
Okay.
And so there's some basic things we have to do, and then there are some more underbelly, I'll call them, kind of aspects of healing. To be honest, a lot of folks that I help, because I became this weirdo person who's like a healer who can pull headaches out of people that doesn't solve the whole problem for them. But those, you know, every one of them had suffered a trauma. You know, notable, either lots of small traumas or kabooey, one big trauma that started the whole thing. And
wow.
Sometimes they don't know it. They just shove it away.
That's okay. Interesting. And you're going to be speaking about this at the Fairhope Public Library on Saturday, this Saturday?
I am, Laurie. 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock, okay.
Okay.
Y'all come.
It's like a speaker series they do every month, isn't it?
Actually, I just called them. I wrote the book when I lived in Fairhope, actually. And I called and I said, hey, you know, can I do this? And they said, yeah. So it's just me coming.
Okay.
And we're going to do an interview style with John Woods. And interviewing me for a while, and then questions and answers so people can participate. And then we're going to have some books there so people can buy my book. I have some other recommendations for them, too. So I'm hoping it's going to speak to a lot of people, including people that don't have migraines, because that same mechanism that causes headaches causes a lot of other things.
Okay.
And people really, the old beliefs about all this were quite different than the reality of it. So,
okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for those that can't come Saturday at 1 at the Fairhope Public Library, you're going to be here not tomorrow night, but believe it or not, it's October next week.
No way. No.
No, Mike.
Are we sure?
Yes. And you will be with us for First Friday Art Walk.
Yes.
And your publisher and our friend, John O'Melveny Woods, will
absolutely
be with you as well.
Yes.
So do you want to give any tips away on the air? Or are we just teasing folks to come see us at one of the other locations?
Would you like a tip?
Yeah.
Believe that you can heal, number one. You don't have to have this horrible affliction.
Okay.
We often get stuck in just the habit of, and the terror of having them, that keeps them going. And that we have to start opening up. So open up and just calm down. One of the techniques you can use to do that is learning how to breathe properly.
Okay.
I meet people all the time. First thing I say is take a deep breath for me, and if I do a session with them, and a lot of people can't do that anymore. They've
sure.
forgotten, like to breathe like a baby or a puppy, and really let go and let the parasympathetic nervous system help you. So learning to do that diaphragmatic breathing. I'm going to offer some workshops and sessions for those folks who want to do that while I'm here, while I'm in town. And we can learn some of those things. And get yourself a good pillow.
Okay.
It sounds like perhaps some of the causes of headaches are psychological.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because in my journey west, I lived south in the Southwest for a long time and got real woo-woo, you know, on top of the medical stuff I learned. from the Diamond Headache Clinic, the Cleveland Clinic, all these giants of research. The mind and the body really dance together all the time, every second are changing. And so we have a lot of power, yes, psychologically, through our perceptions of what we think about stories we tell ourselves and the pain that may have caused something. And it can be a real sticking point for folks. But there's a way to get underneath that. I met a man who had horrible headaches, and we had a brief conversation, a gentle conversation, and I asked him why he thought he had them. Said he didn't know. I was nervy enough to say, but you do. And he just looked at me, and we talked. I said, how old were you when they started? And he said, about 25. I said, did anything happen around then? He said, I don't think so. And I said, well, you'll think of it. If it's there, you'll think of it. 45 minutes later, he came back to me and said, you know, I know what it was. And I said, well, that's wonderful. And he said, my daughter died.
Oh, wow.
Well, he had shoved that pain under the water. And rather than do that, deal with that horror, a daddy, 25-year-old, wonderful father, mm-hmm. couldn't save his child. He had headaches instead.
Wow.
And they're so limiting. It hurts me because it keeps you from being free and vibrant and being who you really are and freeing your gifts into the world when you're suffering like that. And there's no need for it. He may come. He's going to try to fly in for the event on
Oh, wow.
Saturday.
Okay.
I said, oh God, Alex, you know, I don't know if that you should, but I'd love it. You know? So I hope that answered your question.
Wow. Well, you're sitting next to a retired psychologist, so I'm just curious, Mike Condrey, what is your take on this?
First of all, it's fascinating, and we're delighted to have you share these things with us. In the field of psychology, we have devoted literally entire careers to the study of this sort of thing. And someone like you has been able to unravel and uncover things that can be useful to us is remarkable. And you've put it in a book, so we're thrilled with that.
Thank you. That's lovely. I appreciate this.
Unlocking
words.
The Headache Mystery, Essential Keys to Reclaim Your Vibrant Life. Is some of it like yoga or meditation or exercise? Is
yes,
that part
absolutely.
Of it too?
Well, one of the big things, there are three things that really you have to address and understand. Therefore, I recommend reading Dr. Buchholz's book, The 1-2-3 Pro. It's called Heal Your Headache, because he references at the top, the highest level of neurological research, thresholds, triggers, rebound, and how those actually function, and how we can actually be causing them to come and come and come all the time, running down the road on fire, saying, I don't want this, I don't want this, and we're throwing gasoline on the fire unknowingly. The first 28, I think, chapters, I haven't read it in a year, the first 28 chapters are basics, just what you're saying. All the things, and when you read this book from the beginning to the end, you'll know some of it already. But I recommend people read it from the beginning because you'll be reminded of something you already know, or something will jump out at you, and you in your heart and your intuitive voice will know, that I feel that one. And the first 28 chapters are all the basics, like a smorgasbord. You know, and you go, oh, that one. No, I don't think that's it. This would help me. That would help me. All the things we don't know, like an avocado can trigger a headache. We all think of that as a healthy food, and it is. Banana. I can't eat bananas. It's like an invitation. I don't really have headaches anymore, but you can feel that mechanism move in other ways. So that's the first part of the book is dedicated to all these yoga, now, meditation, all sorts
your,
of things.
Your book or Dr. Buchholz's book?
My book.
Okay.
My book.
You referenced his, too, so I was just confused.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. That's okay. He obviously helped lead you into this.
Well, he's the first neurologist, and I'd been working with top-of-the-line neurologists for a long, long time. And when I was researching my book, I was looking for science to support what I had experienced. And what I knew was happening, I'm like, I just gathered like a dragon in a in a movie, you know, all the little jewels that I learned had the ability to put them together. But yeah, after putting that together, I was able to help people, and I forgot what your question was.
That's okay. It almost sounds like this could be an outline for dealing with other things than just headaches, right, Mike? I mean, I'm hearing how it could identify maybe patterns of behavior or help you deal with addictions.
Lots of psychosomatic issues surround us, and all of these, and Mark and I have discussed this, can be triggers that can be avoided once they're recognized, and we can deal with those triggers to stop them from generating the psychosomatic reactions we're having to them.
Hmm. Yes, you can interrupt them. And you know what, though? Dr. Buchholz had a patient. You're very keen. He had all sorts of dizziness, vertigo, depression, low back pain, knots in your neck, your shoulders. All these nerves, the trigeminal nerve, and all these nerves come around the head. And when your vessels are inflamed, they're going to press on those nerves, and it's going to whisper, and then it's going to talk to you, then it's going to yell at you, then it's going to scream at you and slam you to the ground. And what most people do is go run for a quick fix. They want a pain pill. They want something. A massage will help. Anything will help to interrupt this. But the causal issues, the underside of it, is where we really want to go. And I believe what we want to do is, as a previous person who lived in hell, because it's too scary for most of us to go it alone. They just stop doing everything and don't take any pain pills or anything. But that's a huge problem. It will never get better with that being there. I hate to say it, but I'm happy to say it, because it means you can do it without drugs. You can let this go. From the underside, until I gave myself time and freedom to heal, and doing these basics helps you get out of pain. I was in the Diamond Headache Clinic when I was put in the clinic at one point in my life, and I'd had headaches, migraines, all these different labels they give to them, or used to, and they said, you can't take that stuff. You can't take what you've been taking for 15 years. His mouth fell open. He was like, what? You're taking what? And you're taking how much of it? And this is to survive. And the thing gets faster and faster. You're taking it more and more of it just to try to live out of pain. So they took me off all that, and I had this horrible headache one day, and actually the nurse came in to give me a shot, and it hurt a lot. But as she left the room, and I was in bed, like peeping out from under the covers, because everything hurts at that point, she said, you want some ice? And I looked at her like, ice? Like, why would I want to eat ice? You know? And she goes, no, you don't know about ice? And I said, no. What? She brings me this cold, frizzing cold ice pack, and I put it to put on my head to shrink, calm things down, and shrink those vessels.
Okay.
No one had ever told me that. 15 years of neurologists.
They just wanted to push the next medicine on top of it.
Well, I've had doctors tell me. One tried to hire me.
Okay.
Because I pulled a headache out of... I was in Santa Fe. I had a little temp job at a doctor's office. Didn't want to be there. Turned out to be fabulous. I called her Dr. Flip-Flop, and I happened to answer the phone. She wore flip-flops. She was really cool. I answered the phone one day just because nobody was answering this phone. It was a big practice, four doctors. And this woman said, I have a migraine. I've lived with these since I was a child. I cannot live like this anymore. And I remember saying that. And she said, can you get me in today? And I walked down, I made her an appointment, walked down the hall, talked to Dr. Flip-Flop. I said, look, I have somehow been given by divine intervention this gift of pulling headaches. And I thought I'd just let you know that I can maybe do something. So she said, well, when the patient gets here, we'll ask her.
And wow. I can't wait to hear the end of this story. Swap Shop, good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning.
Elizabeth, go for it. Now, you're not supposed to do this, right? in a doctor's office. I mean, she said, "Here, this exam room's yours," which was incredible for me. I was like, "Okay," and I took her in and I asked her. We'll call her Mary. I set it up. There's a whole way I do this. It's a very intuitive, really sacred thing to me. These periods of time that happen synchronistically like this. But I asked her the same question I had asked Alex, and I said, "Well, because I like to start here before I start the energy work, and I can talk about that some if you'd like." I said, "What do you think is the cause?" And she shoved her hand toward me, and this had been a bunny rabbit in pain, and all of a sudden this tiger comes out. She thrusts her hand toward me and says, "I don't want to talk about my mother. I'm not going to talk about my mother. Don't talk about, look at Mike. He's dying laughing over here. I'm not going to talk about my mother."
Tell me about your mother.
I wonder what the problem might have, where it might have started. My head was thinking bingo, and I knew my smarts were saying, "Don't open your mouth," you know.
Right.
And I said, "That's okay. You don't want to pressure people. That just makes it worse. If there's a problem like that psychosomatic mind-body connection, physiological connection going on, you really don't want to make it worse. And people have to, like a squirrel comes to a nut, but if you take a nut and run toward a squirrel, it's going to run away from you."
Right.
You know, so I just said, "You don't have to talk about anything. You're in charge. This is your thing. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do." And she started breathing better, and then I started the session, and I pulled the headache out. And the doctors were like, "Oh my gosh, we don't know what to do for headache people. We're going to tell all our neurologist friends. We're going to do this." And this isn't about me. It's about something that's been given to me. I consider it a God. It's a God thing.
Yeah, and this is when you say pulling headaches out of people. This is not, I wave my magic fingers and it comes out of them. No, this is finding out the issue, addressing the issue, and discovering how to change behaviors, change lifestyle, etc. To put that.
Well, I don't even have to know the issue. Mm-hmm. These things are really divine appointments. The first time this happened, now I had to do my own work. The mm-hmm. reason I learned all this Reiki and energy healing and alternative methods and polarity theory and acupuncture, all these things, experienced them and learned some of them, was because I was in pain. And then I was in a bathroom in a gas station north of Santa Fe one day, and a woman came in the bathroom and washed her hands, and I knew, if you've ever read Malcolm Gladwell's Blink, about how people know things without any explanation, you know, mm-hmm. this magical power humans have. We're reading each other all the time. I said, "Do you have a headache?" And she said, "Yes," with this big hissy voice. I heard myself say, like I surprised myself, I said, "I can help you with that. Do you want me to?" And I was like, "Who said that?" You know, I'm in a bathroom, mm-hmm. you know, at a gas station. This is, I wasn't thinking, it just happened. And she said, yes. And 3 minutes, her headache was gone. And I was like, Is it totally gone? And she said, yes.
You surprised yourself.
I was like, wow, this is so cool. It's a joy to me. Mm-hmm. It's not about me.
Sure.
It's just, but she says, see, I'm getting misty-eyed over it because I know what that's like. She said, "Will you work on my husband? He's got an interview in an hour in Taos. He's a dentist." And I said, "Well, sure, but you want to ask him first?" Like, yeah, hey, there's this lady in the bathroom, you know, doing headaches. You know, okay. So in front of the Cheetos, not to get too weird.
Yeah,
yeah. In front of the Cheetos stand, I'm working on this guy, you know, and I do wave my hands a little bit, you know, because of the energy stuff, part of it. But no, it is not voodoo or something.
Yeah.
It really makes sense to me now why this all fits together. Mm-hmm. But there are real things you have to do. There are literally things. And Dr. Buchholz's food list, for example, is in my book. And that was an issue I never wanted to address when I was young. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, that's too hard. You know, I'll just keep running faster. You know, anyway, yeah, it's a very interesting thing. Of course, the doctor's lawyers nixed the whole idea of me working on anybody on her behalf because I wasn't medically insurable.
Right.
And they were like,
have you gone on to get whatever degree you need in order to do that or what?
No, I've thought about a lot of things. I probably could have gotten a massage therapy license or something like that and been medically insurable. But honestly, and I love the human body. I studied anatomy and kinesiology. This is why I'm fascinated. And I was a competitive athlete. So there's certain things that you know, your focus, your commitment, your mentality, and your body have to all be unified in order for you to do certain things, right?
Right?
So anyway, I did not. And one reason I didn't is because my point with people is you know the answer. Everybody knows the answer. If we can just stop long enough, get out of pain long enough, and any part of life, wellness, self-care, anything, any problem. I have had miracles come over and over and over. It's become a wonderful joy in my life, just how things lay out for me. And everybody's got that capability, and everybody can heal, and everybody can hear that voice instead of trying to, quote, sit down and figure it out and know what the problem is and started addressing it. I think there was another piece of that comment that I'm missing answering, but
that's okay.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Very interesting.
Yeah, I love it. I love this work. And I thought, you know, if you get a massage therapy license, then people want to say, the reason you can help me is because you're a massage therapist. And that's not how I know what I know. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all know things, and it's not because I've been to, and all of us have been to some sort of lecture with somebody who has 3 PhDs, and you can't understand a word they're saying because you're like, hey, you know, I'm just a might want to bring it down, that sort of information that tells you things. You don't need an expert to tell you. And half the time we run to a medical expert, they don't have time to know your whole life and what you do and where you go and what you think and how you respond and what your perceptions are, your beliefs are, what are your childhood issues. And those all matter very much. One of the chapters in the book is about, it's called The Opposite of Perfection. Because perfection has been a demon in my life. And, buddy, that'll ramp you up in a hurry, won't it?
Yeah, I used to really, really fight with that because I kept... It was my inherent nature to keep striving for a higher standard that I couldn't achieve. And after I got electrocuted, it was even harder to... It was an impossible. I couldn't even come close to perfection. Still can't. And...
well, that's perfect.
And wound up being so frustrated at trying to keep being... Why can't I be the better person? And I finally said, you know what? I'm in a mental hospital. What's the point? You know, what is the point in trying to achieve perfection here? Because here I am at this place in life, and you know what? Let's just be me.
Yes.
Let's just be me.
Thank heaven.
Yeah.
Thank heaven. You did it. Look what you're doing here.
Well, and that was part of the getting through it. Yeah. So perfection is what I was going for.
Yeah, and Mike, I mean, like, you know, for me, perfectionism relates directly to me not thinking I'm good enough. I think most of us suffer from, I'm not good enough, and it comes out in all these ways and fear-based behaviors. Because, well, God, if I'm not perfect, like, I'm supposed to be like Jesus or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if I fail, which means every other minute.
Yeah, right,
you know?
Right.
It's tense. It produces a lot of tension and false behaviors. And now I think I have to act this way in front of you instead of be my... Like you said, be yourself, which is the gift to the world, really. So anyway.
You know, I agree with Mark and Elizabeth in all of our training. In psychology, we certainly work with people who are attempting to achieve the unattainable. Now, looking for perfection and looking to become that person that makes no mistakes is something we can't achieve, but we'll continue to try if we don't get some kind of interventional help and finally realize, you know, maybe I'm good enough. And quite frankly, you are. That's a good thing to know. But we have discovered frequently it takes an awful long time of therapy to help people arrive at that understanding. So interesting what you're having to tell us.
Well, and that's one reason I went out west is I just couldn't solve this. And I really thought, and I believe, I know it's true, if I couldn't have changed my ways, my thinking, my beliefs, switched up something in a big way, I think I would have just gotten out of life. I would have gotten sick in some socially acceptable way and died. And that's why I just got my Jeep and went out there. And it was the most glorious 7 years of my life where things just happened without any effort. And I learned and was exposed to all sorts of things I'd never known. I mean, I was in the land of Native America and the high deserts and stuff. So
sounds beautiful. Mm-hmm. This is WABF and Swap Shop. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah, this is Sandy, man. I'm still looking for a little yard work. Trimming hedges is something what I do mostly, washing windows too.
Okay.
Still looking for a push lawnmower if anybody got more than that.
All right. Do you still have the curio cabinet for sale?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've got about it. And I still got it.
And the bicycles?
Yeah, I got two bikes left.
Okay.
One of them both.
Are they kids or adults or both?
I got one for a kid. By at least a 7 or 8 year old girl or boy. And I got an adult bike, too.
Okay.
I got a man and a woman's bike. Yeah. And they swims. They not no fancy bikes. You know, nice bike.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're at 487-1427?
That's right. That's right.
All right. We got you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Okay, so he's looking to buy a push mower. He's also selling a two-piece curio cabinet for $50. He's selling a kid's and an adult's Schwinn bicycle, and he's looking to do handyman work in Fairhope. Call 487-1427. That's 487-1427.
And our number is 928-9228 for the Gulf Coast Swap Shop. Lines are open.
And we'll be right back.
Discover the individual customer support of your local insurance agent, Jerry Smith.